Genesis chapter 32 this evening. Just before we get down to our season of prayer, I want to spend a little while in the Word of God. And as we've been considering already this week, some of the prevailing prayers in Scripture. Last night we thought about Abraham, a man that sought the Lord earnestly, and his effectual, fervent prayers, they availed much for his family, and for Lot especially, and Lot's daughters. And tonight we want to consider another man that prevailed in prayer, and that is, of course, Jacob, Genesis 32. And while Abraham prayed for his family, for his nearest and dearest, and for the needs of a city, Jacob essentially prayed for his own heart and his own life. And I think it would be good tonight to pray that the Lord will meet us and deal with our hearts tonight and minister to us. We need the Lord. And we need to meet with God, and we need God to meet with us and take us up and use us and melt us and make us to be men and women that have got power with God and power with men. That can happen in a prayer meeting. It happened in Jacob's prayer meeting, his encounter with God. And one night of prayer, his life was really turned around. He was a believer. He knew the Lord. He had that experience of the Lord opening his eyes, revealing the way of life, the way to God, the way to heaven. And here in Genesis 32, he has another experience of God, a deeper, a closer experience than he's ever had before. Genesis chapter 32, and we'll read from verse number 23. Speaking of Jacob and his family, and he took them and sent them over the brook and sent over that he had. And Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh. And the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, "Let me go, for the day breaketh." And he said, that is Jacob said, "I will not let thee go, except thou bless me." And he said unto him, "What is thy name?" And he said, "Jacob." And he said, "Thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed." And Jacob asked him and said, "Tell me, I pray thee, thy name." And he said, "Wherefore is it that thou dost ask after my name?" And he blessed him there. And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, "For I have seen God face to face. My life is preserved." And as he passed over Penuel, the sun rose upon him, and he halted upon his thigh. Therefore the children of Israel eat not of the sinew which shrank, which is upon the hollow of the thigh unto this day, because he touched the hollow of Jacob's thigh in the sinew that shrank. And we know that God will bless the reading of his word tonight to all of our hearts. Last night we considered Abraham's prevailing prayer, and tonight we want to consider Jacob's prevailing prayer. Just briefly, the same 3 points, thoughts we had last night. First of all, what was the objective of his praying? Here we have Jacob. What is he praying for? Well, the answer is very simple. Verse number 26, "I will not let thee go." And there's the resolve that he's going to hold on to the Lord until he receives his answer. "I will not let thee go." Prayer, in a sense, is taking hold of God. Taking hold of God's promises, coming with boldness before the throne. That's what Jacob here is doing. "I will not let thee go." So here's a man that's purposed in his heart. "I am going to pray on. And I'm going to pray through. And I'm going to continue in the place of prayer until I receive that which I'm asking for." And very simply, he's asking the Lord for a blessing. "I will not let thee go, except thou bless me." Now, going back to verse number 24, it says, "Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day." And the question that maybe you have this evening, who is this man that wrestled with Jacob? Well, if you go down to verse number 30, Jacob indicates, "I have seen God face to face." This man that wrestled with Jacob was God in a human form. It's what theologians would call a theophany, whenever God manifests himself in a physical way. And there were times in the Old Testament whenever that happened. Even prior to the incarnation, there were times whenever the Lord came in a physical manner and manifested his presence before certain individuals. We see it in the lives of Manoah and his wife, the parents of Samson. We see it with Daniel and his friends, or Daniel's three friends rather, in the fiery furnace. There was a fourth one, and his image was like unto the Son of God. And this is a similar situation, a theophany, or a Christophany, a pre-incarnate appearance of the Lord Jesus Christ. This man was none other than the Lord. And the Lord came whenever Jacob was alone, and the Lord got Jacob alone during the night watches, and the Lord began to wrestle with him until the breaking of the day. And it says, therefore, in verse number 25, and when he, that is the man that wrestled with Jacob, saw that he prevailed not against him. And there are times whenever the Lord comes and ministers to us, and sometimes we're hard and we're unyielding to the hand of the Lord. We're like that potter, the pot and the hand of the potter, and there's hardness in it, and the potter has to take it and knead it and break it down and make it again. And that's what the Lord had to do with Jacob. He couldn't prevail against Jacob, and so he had to touch the hollow of his thigh, had to touch him on that place where Jacob's strength lay. Whenever you think of the imagery here, Jacob wrestling with this man, and of course the wrestler uses the loins, uses the legs mostly, and the thighs mostly. That's the strong point of the wrestler. And yet the Lord touched the hollow of his thigh, and it says the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. So the Lord came, and the Lord found Jacob, and the Lord touched him. And whenever the Lord touched Jacob, it caused pain, it hurt. I'm sure it's a painful thing to have the whole thigh put out of joint. And as the Lord touches Jacob's thigh and the thigh is put out of joint, the wrestling match turns around, and no longer is it the Lord wrestling with Jacob, but it's Jacob wrestling with the Lord. Jacob's discovering now how much he needs the Lord, and he holds on to the Lord. And he says, I will not let thee go, except thou bless me. Prevailing in prayer, unceasing prayer, wrestling in prayer, the kind of prayer that will not leave off until it gets an answer. Now, we're not told what this blessing was that Jacob asked for. I believe it was just the greatest blessing of all, more of God in his life. I want you to bless me. I want more of God in my life. That's the place that Jacob's at as a Christian. We might say as a believer, as a man that knows the Lord, as a man that's been saved by grace many years ago. He's wrestling now with the Lord, and he wants more of God in his life. You see, the greatest blessing that any believer can have is a greater sense of the presence of God. I feel that's what Jacob is looking for. More of God's presence, more of God's power in his life. Jacob felt the need of something. I will not let thee go, except thou bless me. He needed something. And he knew that the only person that could give him this blessing that he sought was the Lord that was wrestling with him. And friends, tonight we need something. In our hearts, in our home, in our church, in our land and nation, we need something. And it's something that only the Lord can give. We need more of his power. We need more of God's presence with us. And you know, it's not wrong to ask God to bless you. Sometimes we feel that it's almost a selfish thing to pray for ourselves. The devil would come in and say, well, you need to pray for others. And we do need to pray for others. And there's certain needs that we continually need to bring before the Lord. But sometimes we almost feel that it's a selfish thing to pray for ourselves, but the Bible has many examples of men and women who prayed for God's blessing. For example, we have here Jacob, in Judges chapter 1, verse number 15. We have an individual by the name of Aksa who came and said, I want a blessing. And then, of course, we've got old Jabez. Jabez is a man whose prayer life is recorded in 1 Chronicles chapter 4. Verses 9 through 10, if you're reading your Bible systematically and you come to 1 Chronicles, you'll discover that the first 6 or 7 chapters are long lists of names and genealogies. And the tendency is to scan through it very quickly and just skip over the first few chapters of the book of Chronicles, because sometimes we feel that well, there's maybe not much there for me. At the very least, it tells us that God is interested in individuals. But right in the middle of those genealogies, we're introduced to a man called Jabez. And the name Jabez means causing pain. And his mother called him that name for whatever reason. We're not sure, but she chose that name because she bore him in sorrow. And so whenever that little boy was born into the world, his mother was going through an intense trial. Maybe it was the pain of childbirth. Maybe it was pain that had entered into her home or family or heart. Maybe the pain of bereavement. We're not sure. But she set it down as a memorial that the little boy would be called Jabez, causing pain. And whenever little Jabez grew up, the Bible says he was more honorable than his brethren. Now his brethren were honorable, but somehow Jabez, as a man, stood head and shoulders above them the rest in a spiritual sense. And so his mother's pain was rewarded, and Jabez, his prayer is, "Oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed." He came to the Lord and he asked God for a blessing. Same as Jacob here, he wants something from the Lord. And I feel tonight we need to come as individuals and really wrestle with God in this prayer meeting and get through to God. And if you don't pray audibly, that's okay. But make sure you get a blessing tonight in this prayer meeting. Even now, just say, "Lord, you bless me. Lord, I want a blessing in this prayer meeting. Lord, this week of prayer, I want to be blessed in my own soul. And Lord, whatever that blessing is, you know, Lord, more than I do what I need. Lord, bless me." That was the objective of Jacob's praying. You'll notice as well that in his praying, as it was with Abraham and every saint of God, there's always obstacles to our praying. I believe there were many obstacles to Jacob's praying. Verse number 23, I feel that this man, one obstacle was emptiness. It says, concerning his family, he took them and sent them over the brook. And sent over that he had. And Jacob was left alone. So here's a man, and God has got him alone, and he's entirely empty-handed. He's got nothing. He sent over his family. He sent all of his belongings over this brook. They're going on ahead. And for whatever reason, Jacob is left alone, and he feels entirely empty. Do you ever feel empty? Do you ever feel that even spiritually speaking, you're running on fumes, you're running on empty? It seems that there's no fuel in the tank and you just feel lethargic and you feel your need of something. Well, Jacob's emptiness perhaps was an obstacle to his praying. He felt empty. And with emptiness there comes weakness. There was also loneliness. His family had gone on. It's the night watches. It's dark. It's lonely. No one to talk to. No one to converse with. And then the Lord comes. And sometimes is that where the Lord wants to get us as individuals? He wants to get us alone. He wants to get us to the place where our hands are empty. And then, of course, there is brokenness. Verse number 25, God touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. You see, Jacob, the name means supplanter or twister. He was very twisted. He was quite cantankerous, and even though the Lord had promised so much blessing to him, even before he was born, he brought so many things into his own hands, and he fought with his brother Esau and tricked his father, and all sorts of things happened, and Jacob was a twister. But the Lord knew, I need to break this man. I need to break his stubbornness. And as the Lord touched him, it caused pain. His thigh was put out of joint, and there was a physical impairment. And it is difficult to be spiritual whenever you're sick and you're unwell and you're in pain. It's difficult to be spiritual because the body is fearfully and wonderfully made, and I believe the body and the soul and the spirit are all linked, and the one affects the other. And as Jacob is wrestling here and wrestling with the Lord touches him and the Lord breaks him, and I'm sure that that caused pain and that caused suffering, and he perhaps wondered, why did the Lord do this in my life? And under God, that was a blessing, but I'm sure the enemy could have came so easily and said, you're praying and the Lord's breaking you and the Lord's causing you pain. And of course, verse 24 says, there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. So there was not only loneliness and emptiness and brokenness, but there was darkness. No light. Here's a man that's praying and he's lonely. He's empty. He's broken. He's suffering pain, and there's no light. The day hasn't even broke yet. It's the darkest hour in Jacob's life. It's a sleepless night. And there's darkness. Believers face times of darkness. The hymn writer said, days of darkness still come o'er me. And they do. Isaiah 50:10 is a verse we've mentioned before. Who is among you that feareth the Lord and obeyeth the voice of a servant? Speaking of a man or a woman that loves the Lord and is saved and is walking with God and obeying God's voice. Who is among you that feareth the Lord and obeyeth the voice of a servant, yet walketh in darkness and hath no light? Let him trust in the Lord and stay upon the name of his God. That's what Jacob is doing. He's just staying now upon the Lord. He's not letting the Lord go until ultimately light comes. So there's obstacles to his praying. There's an objective to his praying. But you'll notice lastly, there's also an attainment to his praying. He received an answer. The answer's given in verse number 28 down to the end of the chapter. The Lord said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed. Verse 30, I have seen God face to face. What did this man receive through his prevailing prayer? Well, first of all, he met with the Lord. I have seen God face to face. And that's important in any prayer meeting. In any private time of prayer as well. That you can finish the prayer meeting and come away and say, I have seen something of the Lord. God has met with me. God has touched me. And I have sought the Lord. And I know that whether I receive the answer now or 10 years' time or 30 years' time, I know that in that time of prayer, I received a blessing because I met with the Lord. So he saw God. He met with the Lord. Also, his name was changed from Jacob to Israel. The name Israel means a prince with God. So here's a man that his name is changed, and in a sense, his nature is changed as well. Because you'll discover as you read on in the book of Genesis from this moment forward, sometimes this individual is referred to as Jacob. Sometimes he's referred to as Israel. The old flesh was still there. That never left him. There were times whenever you look at this character and you see the old Jacob rising up. But praise God, there are times whenever you see this prince with God. I wonder tonight, is that what the Lord wants to do in our life? To crucify more and more the flesh so less of us is seen and more of the royal line is seen, more of the fact that we're members of the family and fold of God. So his name was changed, but also his walk was changed. It says in verse 31, he halted upon his thigh. Therefore the children of Israel eat not of the sinew which shrank, which is upon the hollow of the thigh unto this day, because he hutched the hollow of Jacob's thigh in the sinew that shrank. Whenever this man left this prayer meeting, went to meet up with his family who had gone over the brook before, they could see as he came towards the camp, his walk is different. Something's happened in that man's life. Something's happened to your dad. Something's happened to my husband. His walk has changed. He doesn't walk the way he used to. And whenever we have more of God in our lives, more encounters with God, I believe it not only changes our nature, but it changes our walk. And isn't that what the world needs to see in us? Men and women whose walk is different because we have been with Jesus. And in his weakness, he was given a new power. That's spoken of in verse 28 as well. For with as a prince hast thou power with God and power with men and hast prevailed. Power with God. Here's a man. And from this moment on in his life, because of one prayer meeting, God says, from this moment on, Jacob, Israel, you've got power with God, authority with God in prayer and with men. His life's going to influence men now for the glory of the kingdom of God. May God tonight enable us to pray as Jacob prayed. Now, friends, we'll get down now to our season of prayer. And as we said last night, we were seeking to pray for our families. And while we don't like to give too much of an order by way of what people to pray for, it's always good to pray what's on your heart. And to pray over the burdens that lie in your heart. But it is important tonight that we pray for our own hearts. Pray that we will meet with God and God will meet with us. And we'll get to that stage where we'll be able to prevail with God in prayer and have power with God and power with men. So let us just still our hearts for a moment or two.